Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hi there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher, and now I spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You may be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, ClassTechTips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special event, you followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I'm so glad you're here. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources, and any of the free downloads I mention. Before we dive in for today, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has left a review on my podcast. Here's a shout out to Diana, who left a review and said, "Packed full of innovative ideas, love listening at the gym." Thank you so much, Diana, for leaving a review. And if you get a moment to leave a review too, I'll be super appreciative. And as a thank you, or you can think of it as a December gift exchange for leaving a podcast review, I'd love to send along something special your way. So if you have a moment, please leave a review wherever you're listening to this podcast and let me know that you left your review by going to Twitter or Instagram and sending me a message. You can send me a message at Class Tech Tips, just a quick DM, and say, "Monica, I left my review," and I'll make sure to have something special for you. This week's podcast episode is titled Tips for Using Breakout Rooms with Desiree Alexander. Dr. Alexander is a fantastic educator, and as you'll hear us talk about in this episode, she has so many EdTech tips. And the last time Desiree and I stood in an actual room together, not a breakout room, was at the FETC conference this year at the beginning of January in Miami. So it was wonderful to connect with her virtually, even though I wish we were face to face. As she explains when we get started with the episode, she has her own education consulting company, and I'll make sure to put links to her webpage wherever you're listening to this episode. And she'll also talk about her YouTube channel and some of the freebies on her site. So make sure to use the link that I include wherever you're listening to this so that you can follow along with her fantastic work. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. I'm so excited to chat with you about this idea of breakout rooms and looking at different strategies that educators can use. But I'm hoping we can jump right in and you can share a little bit about your role in education and what your day-to-day looks like.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me, number one. And my role in education at this point is I work for a nonprofit, an educational nonprofit in the state of Louisiana, and we help educators in different ways. We do donations, we do scholarships, we bring them, you know, appreciation lunches. We also offer professional liability insurance. So we do a lot of, you know, different things like that with legal, and we offer professional development. And then I have my own consulting business. So I work with and run and the founder CEO of that. And that kind of leads me around the globe doing professional development for school districts, for teachers, for leaders, really whoever in education needs help. That's kind of my life right now. And that is my role in education right now. I started my career as a sixth grade and eighth grade English teacher and a high school English teacher, middle school librarian, high school librarian. And this is what I'm doing now. So, and I absolutely love it.
Well, that's wonderful. And I know we chatted and spent some time together on a panel in January of this year at FETC. And I think it was right after that when we were kind of chatting about different things, I started following along with your getting your newsletter. And then I know that this summer I had come across one of your videos, and maybe I saw it in your newsletter, you know, or one of those sort of things, right? All around breakout rooms and using video calls and all the strategies that I know are really front of mind for folks who are either in the midst of full-time remote learning or when they are doing hybrid learning. And you and I have probably been using breakout rooms, you know, all the time, right? You know, lots of different ways. But for folks who maybe have heard that term breakout room before, but aren't quite sure if they've done it or participated in it, can you help my listeners understand the big difference between a regular old video call and one with breakout rooms?
Absolutely. So, you know, your normal video call is just that, you know, you're looking at the group is looking at you, and you're communicating between each other. But when you introduce breakout rooms, it just makes it a little bit more interactive, to where your participants, whether that be students, whether that be co-teachers, they can communicate with each other kind of without your monitoring, even though you can monitor it. So we can, you know, discuss that as well. But it just brings another element to it where you can, you know, put your participants in breakout rooms or have them choose their own breakout rooms, and they can communicate amongst themselves. So it does add a different element to it, where it's not always one big group, but you can actually use those breakout rooms to do small groups.
Yeah, and I love it because it reminds me, especially hosting professional development, like I'm sure you're finding that when folks go into breakout rooms and I am kind of bouncing around, I usually try and keep my video and my audio off so it doesn't seem like I'm, you know, hovering over the table like in the past. Right. And that's really when I feel like everyone's asking questions of each other or really sharing out. So yeah, just like you said, those kind of small group moments are really valuable for that live instruction. So having that breakout room, which I know have been available on Zoom for a while now, at least since the beginning of everyone in education's use of it this spring, and it's been a really requested feature for Google Meet too. And now that it's available in Google Meet, if someone is using either of those platforms and they're looking to get started with breakout rooms for the first time, are there any like logistical things they should consider or best practices? So I'm curious on your tips for those newbies to breakout rooms.
Absolutely. So one thing I just wanted to, I guess, clarify a little bit is that breakout rooms are available in Google Meet Enterprise for education. So it, you know, it is the paid kind of educator account that it has been introduced to, where it's integrated into Google Meet. But there are ways that you can do breakout rooms in Google Meet, even if you're using the free education account. So I have a video on my YouTube channel about, you know, how to do that in a pretty, you know, pretty easy way, and not like tech easy, a pretty easy way to do that when you're using Google Classroom. So I just wanted to verify that just in case someone's like, wait, my Google Meet doesn't have it. But there's three tips that I usually give, you know, anybody, whether you're a newbie or not, going into it. And there is not the more like logistical stuff, because I feel like you can watch a video to do that, like, you know, how to create the breakout rooms and a couple of tips for that. But just to make your breakout rooms more engaging, I like to give three tips. So the first one is you need to give them a call to action. So when they go into those breakout rooms, they need to have something to immediately do. So not just like, oh, we have this assignment, but like, what is my call to action? And what I like to do with my call to action incorporates my second tip, and that is giving them roles to do. So I have three roles that I give my students when, you know, when I have students or when I'm monitoring for teachers. So there's three roles. The first role is I have the recorder, the reporter, and the timer. So the timer is the one that actually keeps the group on time. The recorder is the one that actually records whatever they need to turn in, which is my tip number three. And the reporter is the one that when we come back together as a whole group, if I ask any group to report back to us, that reporter person needs to be ready to go. So it also makes your class run a little bit smoother. So that's my second tip. But getting back to the call to action that incorporates the second tip, the call to action is as soon as you get in that breakout room, you need to assign those three roles and put it in the chat. So either put it in the chat or put it on one of the slides, which is, again, I'm going to talk about in tip number three. So pick those three people. As soon as I come to your room, I should be able to see who those people are without interrupting you. Mm-hmm. And if I do have to interrupt you, then that's a point off for participation. So is this one of those things where it makes them, like it gives them something immediately to do? The timer, when you send them into the breakout room, you should never send them without actually giving them the time they're coming back. So don't say, you know, oh, we're going to come back in 10 minutes. Okay, we're going to come back in 10 minutes and that's at 8:50. Mm-hmm. So you always want to give them the exact time so the timer can, you know, keep them on task. And what those two do is it actually forces them to kind of self-regulate. Because if I'm the reporter and we want to talk about the game last night, I'm going to get you back on track because you're going to call on me, right? When we go back into that room, you know, I need to know what to say. If I'm the reporter, like I need to know what to type. Like, so we're going to have to stay on task until we get done. So it's one of those things where it kind of makes themselves start to self-regulate and be a little bit more engaged. And then the third tip is to always have something for them to do. And that's not the major assignment or, you know, even if they're just going to do a quick discussion, they need to have something to do. And one of those things that I usually do, I call it virtual index cards. And all it is a Google slide deck. And, you know, sometimes I make it fancy, sometimes I don't. There's a template on my website that you can go and get. I did not create the template, but it's awesome. So I give them one slideshow where group one is on slide one or, you know, however you want to organize that. And that's where they have to type notes. So just, you know, it doesn't have to be formal, just some notes about what did you discuss in the room. But one of the things that does is, number one, of course, it makes the reporter, you know, have to do something. The group has to come up with something. But it helps me when I'm monitoring. So when I'm skipping from room to room, mm-hmm. I can have that slideshow up and I can see, well, why is group three not typing anything? So that's where I'm going next, right? Mm-hmm. So it kind of helps me monitor the rooms. And then when I go to room three, they may just be having a lively discussion. It doesn't mean they're doing anything wrong, but it definitely is a red flag for me to go and visit that room.
I love all of those pieces because it's just so rooted in all the things we know about classroom management, right?
Right.
And when kids are working together. But I think sometimes, especially for those folks who are new to all of this, right, we know these best practices for classroom management, but sometimes having those, you know, aha moments to say, oh, right, you know, I know that everyone needs to have a clear action item, or yeah, you know, I do usually give kids roles when we go into literature circles. Why am I not doing it here? You know, or whatever it might be. So I love that idea of really rooting it in all the things that we know are important for classroom management, right? The accountability and that component. And you mentioned, you know, the virtual index cards or having kids, you know, report things that you can monitor kind of at that distance. It almost, you know, it reminds me of the same way that, you know, I might stand in the middle of the room and, you know, scan all the groups to see like who's got markers in their hands and who's working on the poster, you know, or whatever it might be in a more analog environment. And so what other kind of go-to tools, you mentioned Google Slides, are there other ones that you've been using side by side with breakout rooms or that might be connections other folks might make?
Well, I think the cool thing about breakout rooms is it really is just for the collaborative piece. It's for, you know, you can use anything. You can use any tech tool in those breakout rooms that you would use in the whole group. You just have to know how to make sure that they have access to it. So if you're, you know, whatever you're using to as your platform, you know, whether it's Google Classroom or Microsoft Teams or Schoology or Canvas, you know, with all the 50,000 things that you're using for communication, you just have to make sure that whatever tool you want them to use when they're in the breakout room, that they actually have quick access to it. Mm-hmm. So either through that platform or what I've been telling my teachers is to, especially if you're talking about Zoom, now Google Meet is going to be a little different. But if you're talking about Zoom, where if you put them in the breakout rooms the main chat still follows them. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you put the link or whatever, even if it's to the virtual index cards and you're like, well, I already put it on Google Classroom. Still put it in the chat before they go to the breakout rooms. And that way that chat's going to follow them and they'll have everybody in the breakout room will also have the link. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I thought about was if you are going to do virtual index cards and you want them to have directions or you want them to have a link to, you know, your Pear Deck or your Nearpod or your Kahoot or, you know, like all the quizzes, the millions of things that you may be using, put it on the first slide. So put the links on the first slide and then, you know, kind of everyone has that quick access to it. They should have the slides pulled up anyway. So, you know, just those little things. But also, I know some districts don't allow breakout rooms because mm-hmm. of the monitoring aspect to it. But, you know, I tell my teachers, there's just so many benefits to it. Not only students collaborating with each other, but also students digging deeper into the content. Because that's when they learn, right? They learn when they dig into it and struggle with it. And it challenges them. So it gives them time to dig into the content. But I also tell my teachers, it also gives students time to work one-on-one with the teacher. Mm-hmm. So if I'm sending them into a breakout room and, you know, I have a student that's like, well, I just really need to sit with you or I really need to ask you this question, then it also gives them a little, you know, one-on-one or small group time to do that as well. So it has a lot of different benefits. I will say if you are using, like, let's say Google Meet, not Google Meet Enterprise, because that's already integrated. Mm-hmm. But if you're using Google Meet to do the breakout rooms the way I have it on my YouTube channel, then there are, you know, little tricks of the trade where you can monitor all the rooms at one time and things like that too.
Yeah. And what you've said here about just the level of engagement, right? Some of the benefits, or I usually am always, you know, framing benefits around the value add, right? Like, what is this doing here that's just not possible in the past? So all those things you mentioned about just the engagement, the small group instruction, the ability to take a pause and really process and work things out. I think there's just so many benefits to these spaces. And you know, when you mentioned the idea of, you know, posting the kind of call to action or the links or the reminders, you know, we do the same thing in a physical classroom, right?
Right.
We're just repeating these instructions. We say it four different ways so that hopefully it resonates with everyone. And so I love that this just really ties back to that foundation, right? Those best practices for this. And so if someone, you know, has been doing breakout rooms a bit already, you know, you gave these three great tips that you always use when you're a breakout room. So I think that's a great way for someone to take it to the next level. Are there any other things that you might recommend to someone who's feeling pretty good and has those basics down if they want to, you know, take it up a notch?
I would say, and I know this is a little, well, maybe a little odd, but I would say start using some student voice and student choice. So in the breakout rooms, you know, one of the things I always look for is how can I incorporate students in the decision making. So start asking your students, like, hey, they're the ones actually participating in the breakout rooms. Mm-hmm. How can we make these better? Now, I may not do that at the beginning, you know, when I'm first getting started, I'm trying to find my legs. But, you know, once we get into this and we've been doing it for a while, like, how can these be better? What kind of interactions do you guys want? Like, just asking them. What I found in my career that when I ask the students, sometimes they'll come up with stuff that I'm like, well, duh, why didn't I come up? You know? So they'll come up with ideas and you're like, oh yeah, that's easy to do. We can do that. And then of course they feel a little bit more agency in the decisions as well. And another thing I would say that, you know, people can try if you've already been using breakout rooms, and I'm sorry to go back to Zoom, but Zoom has just updated, and I have this video on my YouTube channel where you can let the participants choose the breakout room. So that would be a little bit interesting if, you know, you have a couple of questions about whatever content you're teaching and you want to put a room per question, and they can choose where they go to discuss, and they can choose the topic that they want, you know, that they want to discuss. And you can even do something like a round robin where they choose one and then you can send them a message that says, okay, it's time to go to a different one. You know, just little things that you can make it a little bit more interesting. Again, not something that I would do at the beginning of my breakout room usage, but something I can definitely do if I'm a little bit more advanced. And you can also do that with Google Meet, but not Google Meet Enterprise, but you can do it with the kind of just regular Google Meet because of how you're setting up the rooms, because you're just using different links and different tabs for the breakout rooms. You can actually create a document or just in Google Drive and have them do the same thing. They can go into breakout room A to discuss this, breakout room B to discuss this. Just a little bit easier to do in the free Google G Suite for Education. And you can do the same thing. So, yeah.
I like that so much. And it reminds me too of, you know, those four corner activities, right? Yes. Like choose your corner kind of, right? So yeah. I could imagine having, you know, yes, you could do it, of course, in the Zoom, right? But like you mentioned with Google Meet, you might have that slide deck or that share document where kids can just choose their room. And that way they could go in and talk about kind of their position on something or like their favorite thing or whatever it is, right? So
right.
So many ways to frame it. And you mentioned your YouTube channel, which is how I was first, you know, when I saw one of your videos, I was like, oh, I really want to try and jump on a call with Desiree and talk about this, because I just loved how you have really spent so much time crafting these videos and they're so useful. I know you have one about breakout room, or have a couple, you know, about breakout rooms and on different topics. And I have just started getting back into my own YouTube channel. I've been doing a lot of Instagram videos and just kind of repurposing content. So tell me about your YouTube channel. Tell everyone about how you've been using this space to share ideas. How has that been going? Kind of give us your YouTube story, if you will.
Oh, absolutely. Well, my company is Educator Alexander, and my website is educatoralexander.com. So you can actually go there and just click on YouTube to get to my YouTube channel, or my YouTube channel is really youtube.com/educatoralexander. So however you want to get there. But I do a lot of free webinars on the weekends. I used to do them all myself, and now I have a lot of guests that come and do webinars, and they're just amazing. So my YouTube channel really started with kind of random videos, and then it started getting a little bit more organized when I started posting the webinars. So if you couldn't make it in person, I would post it, you know, with the permission of whoever was doing it. And again, it was mostly me. I would post the webinar on my YouTube channel. So that kind of started taking off. And then what I realized was I would make these videos about, you know, Google Chrome, and these are the ways to do Chrome, and these are the differences between a laptop and a Chromebook, and Google Drive basics, and all these, you know, different videos. And they were awesome, if I do say so myself. But what I realized is I really wanted something that was just quick and dirty. I just wanted something that you can just get in, learn one single skill, and get out. And that's where my 5-minute tips were born. And that really took off on my YouTube channel, because it really is stuff that, you know, people email me constantly all the time, and I love it. Keep doing it. And they'll ask me questions, and I would make videos for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then I would just delete them. Like, I would just make a video like, oh, this is how you do this, blah, 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 blah. And then I would sing it to them and then just like leave it in my Dreamcastify or delete it.
Mm-hmm.
And I started realizing, well, other people probably have that same question.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that is where an OCR was my very first 5-minute tip, because somebody said, well, can you put that in a video? How can I have Google, you know, type words for me from pictures? And I was like, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my first one came from. And now it's just anytime somebody asks me a question, I can do a quick video, but I also put it on my 5-minute tips. And sometimes, honestly, I will just be sitting here going, oh, that would be a good like just something will pop in my head. I'm like, that's a good 5-minute tip, because you assume everyone knows everything that's going on in your head, and they don't, and you don't know everything, right? So you go and learn. And that's kind of my YouTube channel in a nutshell. I try to organize it to where you can really get to stuff very easily. And I suggest that for anybody doing a YouTube channel, just make those playlists where it's easy for people to get to stuff. And yeah, that's my little baby, my YouTube channel.
Well, I think it's just organized so wonderfully. And, you know, your 5-minute tips are so fantastic. And it's exciting. You know, it's so interesting to hear that kind of origin story of it and how it just happened so organically and responsive, which I think are really the best things. So yes. Appreciate that you've taken those kind of email responses and webinars and projects like that to make it ready for the whole world to see. And I'll make sure to put links here where anyone's listening to the episode. Now you'll be able to find links to the YouTube channel and to your website. Are there any other places where listeners can connect with you and learn more about your work?
Well, sure. So, you know, mainly my website. I love my YouTube channel, but I'm also on social media. So on Twitter, I'm at Educator Alex. And then on all other social media like Facebook, Instagram, I'm Educator Alexander. So if you can just remember Educator Alexander, you can find me anywhere, unfortunately, except for Twitter, where I'm Educator Alex, but my name was too long to put the whole thing. But yeah, so they can subscribe to my newsletter, all of that. What I decided to do on my website is to make a subscribe page.
Nice.
You know, it was just hard to try to give everybody links to everything and it just got confusing. So on my subscribe page is everything, my YouTube channel, my newsletter, all the social media, at least the ones that I really follow. Yeah. So if you have that subscribe page, then you have everything. And if you just go to my website, and again, that's educatoralexander.com, you can actually just click on subscribe and you'll see everything that I'm talking about.
Well, that's wonderful. And I appreciate you making it so easy for everyone because I know, you know, I spend a little bit more time maybe on Instagram and other people spend more time in other places. So This was just so wonderful. And I appreciate your time today sharing all of these breakout room tips. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Oh, no, thank you for having me. Honestly, I love you. I love everything you're doing. I love when we can actually get together and and do stuff. So this is just an extension of that. And I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Dr. Alexander as much as I did. I love conversations that have really actionable information, and you heard it straight from her that you can really use breakout rooms in different ways, whether you're getting started for the first time or taking it to the next level. I just loved all the tips that she shared. Just like every episode, let's break it down and make this EdTech easy. First, figure out your breakout room tool. Maybe it's Zoom, maybe it's Google Meet. Next, have a clear call to action for students before you even send them out to a room on their own with their small group of students. Then, make sure that everyone knows their role. And finally, have something for students to do as a follow-up or for accountability. Now remember, wherever you're listening to this episode, you'll see a link to the show notes. You can click on that link and get links to all of the resources we talked about today. Now, of course, if you want to follow along with all of Dr. Alexander's work, you'll see that link right here wherever you are listening to this episode. I love bringing you free resources like this podcast to energize and elevate teaching and learning. Can you do me a favor? If you like the podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this. Tell a friend about the podcast or post a link to the episode on your social media. And if you'd like to stay connected, follow Class Tech Tips on Instagram or your favorite social network. I visit schools and conferences all over the world and support organizations remotely with webinars and virtual professional development. So if your organization is in need of professional learning, just send a message my way.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.